It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take him out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it. You can sit here and do a sugarcoat job.
I don't know why Spadoni played that. Well, I kind of have an idea why he played it. Oh, baby. Good morning to everybody out there. Couple days after now, more than 24 hours after the Niners lost to the L.A. Rams, we did watch Monday Night Football yesterday, which we'll touch on. I thought the quarterback play was exceptional with the exception of Trevor Lawrence. We'll get to that in just a second here, but a lot going on with the 49ers as we say good morning to everybody out there getting off their graveyard shift. If you're in traffic on the Bay Bridge Toll Plaza, good morning to you. Hey, getting there. You will get to work eventually. Good morning to all the overnight dancers, all the teachers, cops, you name it. A lot going on with the 49ers. A day after they lose to the L.A. Rams, 27-24, it was announced yesterday that Javon Hargrave will be out for the season. Javon Hargrave out. Christian McCaffrey in Germany getting some second opinions about his Achilles. Oh, well, what do you know? Brock Purdy had an MRI on his back. But he's day-to-day. I think he'll be fine. But right now, the Niners are beat up. We don't know when George Kittle's coming back. We don't know when Deebo Samuel's coming back. We don't know when Dre Greenlaw's coming back. And so now losing Javon Hargrave on this defensive line with his partially torn right triceps, and we know about the money he's going to be owed over the next 2 years, which we'll touch on in a second. It's not time to panic, Shasky, but situation is getting critical for the 49ers here to try to turn their season around. And look, the defensive line in the trenches, you can't stop the run. You can't get pressure on the quarterback. That doesn't change overnight.
No, it doesn't. At least we're not Jacksonville, right? Huh? Right?
Not be Jacksonville.
Wow. I mean, they're in a position that's very, very difficult as you talk about quarterback play and stuff. I think that's the one silver lining to everything, and I know he's got the back issue, but you got to feel really good about Brock Purdy. The game that he had, look, it doesn't mean that you're going to go out there for 16 weeks with a bunch of no-namers and dominate, but like for a small stretch, can the guy carry your offense?
Yeah.
Feels like he can, yep. Right? Can he move the ball up and down the field? I mean, him alone, he had 340 yards, and then you throw on the 80 yards or so that Jordan Mason had and the extra 20 Garendo had. They moved the ball. They just didn't have situational stops on defense, and special teams continues to be a bugaboo. The Javon Hargrave injury, it's just... I mean, it's like a chef's kiss to one of the more poor free agent signings. And it's not because the guy doesn't try or doesn't care. I know there's lots of, you know, effort videos that are floating about and all that. I'm not going to go into someone's heart and understand how hard they're working or how hard they're playing on any given play. Has it been a great signing? Nah, it hasn't.
Shanahan did mention, and here's his quote, "It's a big loss. I thought he had his best game yesterday. I thought he was a huge factor. Really affected the quarterback in that game. He's one of our better players. He was definitely going in the right direction. It was going to have a big year." Well, unfortunately, that year ends week three in L.A., but according to all the data points and everybody out there, he was having his best game with the most pressures on the team. But against the run, he can be a liability. There's no doubt about that. You know, now it's getting floated around, something we discussed early in training camp, kind of just messing around. DJ Jones, would he ever become available in Denver? Could you bring him back? Yannick Ngakoue signed yesterday with the Baltimore Ravens. So the thin D-line, I think it's the least talented defensive line under Kyle Shanahan since he's been the coach of the San Francisco 49ers. Draft picks haven't worked out. Apparently free agency signings haven't worked out. It's bad, and it starts up front. So what do you do without Hargrave? T.Y. McGill's going to have to step up. Khalil Davis is going to be back at some point. But it's a massive, massive loss on a team that's already having trouble generating pressure to the quarterback. So now, moving forward, just with the defense, Nick Sorensen and Kyle Shanahan, they may have to blitz more than they ever have before and have to trust these corners and trust these safeties in man. And you get beat up, no doubt about it. You give up some chunk plays. But you got to generate some pressure on these quarterbacks moving forward here, man. Because that was a problem Sunday. Stafford was clean. Absolutely. Stafford had clean pockets on a makeshift offensive line.
Well, and then, like you're talking about, Shanahan saying Hargrave played his best game. PFF does all these different breakdowns. They're like, oh, you know, he led the team in pressures or was second in the team in pressures, depending on whose numbers you're looking at. And it's like, maybe I just view pressures different than other people. Like, I didn't think that Stafford, on some of these ones, they said, oh, that's a pressure, this is a pressure. Yeah. I just thought he just kind of, I'll just drift a little in the pocket, and I'll still be able to be clean. I know the definition is very loose, and it's very subjective. It's just, your eyeballs tell you they're not heating the quarterback up, and they're not rushing his decision-making.
Yep.
You know, and I think when you miss on certain draft picks and when you try to patchwork it via free agency, you could swing and miss big. And I think that's the result of where we're at now is, you know, the Dee Ford injury, I can't get over it. Like, as injured as he was, when he was here, he was really good.
Yep.
You know, and
it took a while for people to say that because a lot of people were just ripping on the guy, ripping on him left and right.
Yeah, I'll be one of the people.
And it just wasn't fair. And then we came out there to training camp the first time he ever went out to training camp, and he's working on the side field trying to get right. And he tells us, I'll come on the show when I get right, right. The guy was trying, but they have not figured out that opposite edge rusher. And it puts more pressure on Nick Bosa, but that comes with the territory when you sign a contract like that. You know, and you sign that money, and you become a DPOY, and now when you just get pressures, it's not good enough. People are looking for sacks. They're looking for sack fumbles. They're looking for tackles for loss. I look at Baldy's breakdown, and I look at the experts' breakdown on NFL Network, and when they're breaking down a 49ers film, whatever PFF says, whatever people on Twitter says, my naked eye tells me they're not getting enough pressure.
That's what I feel.
They're not getting enough pressure.
When you watch and you're going, sack him, come on, come on, come on. If you're doing nine come-ons, you know what I mean? Like, eventually that guy has way too much time to throw. And you've brought this up over and over. You can't guard anyone for 5 seconds. No. It's the NFL. These guys are elite. The worst receiver on a team is the best athlete you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah, no
so
doubt.
It's really difficult to be able to cover these guys that long. And it's just wild because, like, Shanahan has talked, and he's got a lot of different philosophies, and I'm sure your team-building philosophies evolve over time. What you were year one doesn't mean it's who you are year 25 when you're Andy Reid. But he always says, like, I would like to invest in my defensive line. And it's like, I look up and that vaunted defensive line that carried them to that first Super Bowl with Dee Ford and Armstead and Buckner and Bosa. Well, now it's just Bosa. And they've tried to replace it via the draft, and they've tried to replace it via free agency, and just nothing's worked. Drake Jackson, huge miss. You know, Javon Kinlaw, huge miss. Javon Hargrave, huge miss right now, you know, and it's just Leonard Floyd hasn't been great early on. I'm willing to grant him a couple more weeks and see where it goes. But they just haven't been able to replenish that side of the ball, that specific unit. And you say it's the thinnest. Like, Bonte, we saw a guy, and we know the roster pretty well. We saw a guy make two plays, and I said, all right, wait a minute. Number 91. I know this team pretty well. I watched every preseason game. I'd never even seen this guy.
Yeah, he came out of nowhere. Man.
I couldn't believe it. And you know what I said to myself? I think he might need to play. Well, he's making plays.
On our lads, he's not even on the roster. No, here he is down here on the practice squad. He got caught up for the practice squad.
Well, how do you pronounce his name?
Sam Oku. I'm not even going to do it.
Well, they played Gross Matos.
I need the pronunciation guy so I can do that because I'd never heard of the guy.
Me neither.
But he was on the practice squad wearing number 91, and he had that one pressure where he came in scot-free. But to your point about defensive line and replenishing the talent, when you trade Buckner at the time, in trading Buckner, I said, okay, if you don't want to pay him, that's fine. But to me, it never made sense to trade him just to draft his replacement because I'm in the belief of if I have a proven talent, and I'm like this, especially in baseball. If I've got a proven talent, I'm taking that proven talent all day long over a prospect who may be good one day. And Javon Kinlaw already had the injuries to the leg, and it was the COVID year. So he was not allowed to get into the office or into the facility that entire offseason. Now, would it have made a difference? I don't know. But he was not able to come to around the 49 Eddie DeBartolo away until trading camp. So you trade Buckner, who was a proven commodity, great ambassador for the community, for another defensive lineman because you wanted to save some money. That, to me, didn't make sense unless you're trading and you're moving down or whatnot. It just put too much pressure right away. And now, again, Javon Kinlaw may not be that good. He may not be that good. And over the 5 years or 4 years he was with the 49ers, he didn't produce much. But you already put the young man in a tough spot where it's like, all right, we're going to trade Buckner, who was loved by his fan base, loved by his teammates, and we're going to draft this rookie out of South Carolina who's already had an injury history. Oh, no, here's number 99. We're going to give you Buckner's number. That's like, it doesn't make much sense. Now, may not have nothing to do with nothing, but I was not a fan of just trading Buckner for another defensive tackle. That was the start of it.
At the time, their thought process was, well, we get to keep Armstead with the money we would have gave Buckner, and we can keep Jimmy Ward, and we can get a draft pick to draft his replacement. So they viewed it as a 3-for-1. And I remember you and I doing, COVID shows from our basements, and we both did not like it at all. Well, number one, Eric Armstead got paid like a defensive end when he's a D-tackle, and I just thought it was an overpay. He had a monster year. It felt very career year-ish. They could have franchise-tagged him. Jimmy Ward, I will support keeping Jimmy Ward. That ended up being a really good move. But, the Kinlaw move, like, he wasn't healthy and he wasn't good enough, and that's really hurt them. And then you look at it, because he's not good, now you have to go back in free agency and you're overspending for Hargrave to get some impact in the interior. And now it feels like he kind of had a career year, even though he was solid in Pittsburgh before even going to the Eagles. It sure feels like today, like, wow, we kind of got fleeced on a career year, too.
Yeah, no,
on a
they
team
did.
With a loaded defensive line where we put up great numbers.
No, they did. They did. And here's the other thing, too, with the Buckner deal. You give the money to Armstead. We all felt like Buckner had done more to get that money.
Totally.
Like, it wasn't even close. Like, wait a minute. Not only do you trade Buckner, you draft this replacement, give him the same number, but you pay a guy who was not a fan favorite. You pay a guy who had not had a lot of impact, who had a lot of injuries at that point. Eric Armstead, now he did have the career year, and everybody's like, well, he fits the Y9 better. He fits the Y9 better. Buckner's one of those players to me where he fits any damn scheme. 3-4, 4-3, doesn't matter.
He's a great player.
He's a massive player. But now you look at this draft. You look at the last couple drafts here. They drafted Robert Beal, who we think needs a lot of work.
Yeah.
He's an outside linebacker.
Kind of unimpressed.
Yeah. So for the last 2 years, you look at the draft, they haven't drafted anybody outside of Robert Beal on that defensive line. You have to invest in it. The Rams just invested in it. And they're no young man from Florida State. These two guys from Florida State on the LA Rams were getting pressure left and right in this game. And Colt McKivitz, we could have a conversation about him. The film doesn't look good for him.
But the film
does not look good for him.
But
Jared Verse was having his day, and he's a rookie out of Florida State. The Niners just did not, like, you think about now, Jared Verse, maybe you move up, maybe you do something there, or you get the other young man, Brayton Fisk, out of Florida State. You drafted Ricky Pearsall, and right now we see nothing from Ricky Pearsall.
So, like, this goes back to, like, you've taken a couple of luxury picks that I don't think are great luxury picks. So everyone losing their mind about the third-round pick on Moody. Well, third round is where you can find playmakers, whether it be on offense or defense. And when you use it on special teams, right, like, that kicker better be good. He better be better than a what I call undrafted free agent walk-on, right? Because you could find those guys. I could find undrafted free agent walk-on kickers. Not that they're going to be the best in the league, but I could find those guys. I believe Justin Tuck originally, now it's an outlier, was an undrafted free agent. I believe originally he was an undrafted free agent. So you can find those guys at a spot kicking where it feels like the replacement player isn't that big of a drop-off.
It's rare, though.
So I look at it like they've got a lot of draft capital that they've used to get premium players. But now that those premium players are hurt, you really miss those picks. When Christian McCaffrey's out, like, yeah, nobody minds trading second, third, and fourth to fifth-round picks for Christian McCaffrey. He's awesome. He's better than all the players you would have drafted with those picks. But when he's hurt and he might be out for the year and you gave him a contract extension, it makes it harder to put those resources back into the team.
Well, now, for anybody who's just waking up, running back Christian McCaffrey flew to Germany over the weekend to visit with a specialist about the persistent Achilles tendonitis that led to him on an injury reserve list September 14th. So we have no idea about Christian McCaffrey. Again, I've been on record shortly after the Jets game. If they get anything out of Christian McCaffrey this year, it's going to be a bonus. I'm not expecting him to play this year. How big of a blow is that? Obviously, it's a huge blow. Offensively, they were able to move the ball without a lot of guys last year, but we're talking about Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey is a cheat code. So Shanahan also revealed that McCaffrey was dealing with the Achilles issue, and it was that more so than the calf that was bothering him. McCaffrey's did a surprise scratch, of course, against the Jets. So he's in Germany. He got a second opinion. We'll see what's going on here. Tiger Woods, Kobe Bryant, and many others have gone to Germany for treatment over the years. But, we'll see what happens.
It's not good.
It's not good.
It's
no
not
doubt.
Good. But I will say, You know, I hope the Germans can help our friend CMC out. I saw people comparing this to Kobe, and I saw people comparing this to Peyton Manning because he went over there, and lots of different players. LeBron James had this foot injury in the tendon a couple of years ago, and I remember he went and saw the LeBron James of feet, quote unquote. Remember that's what he said? That was the most absurd quote of all time. But he did, he healed at like a supernatural level, like he was the Wolverine. We always go with, like, when people go get, you know, oh my God, you know, it's 6 to 8 weeks. Some of these guys are genetic freaks and they recover faster. Yep. Maybe CMC's one of those guys. Maybe this ends up working out. Maybe whatever they do that doesn't have all of the red tape of the FDA here in America, I don't know. Yeah. I honestly don't care. I just want him back and I hope that he can get healthy again. I saw things saying he could be back by week 12. I saw other stuff saying he's done for the year. B, to your point, it's feeling like if I see him even suit up, it feels like a bonus. I feel like this is a lost season.
It ain't where the 49ers at in week 12.
That's
where they're at record-wise. Would it be worth bringing him back by week 12 if things do go all right for the team? Real quick, let's get to Mike in the city. Mike in the city wants to talk about the 49ers here. What's happening, buddy?
What's going on, fellas?
What's up, Mike?
What's up, buddy?
So, it pains me to say this. You guys remember me from making that stupid bet with my best man, Durf. The Niners will be just fine. Y'all got the injury bug right now, but give Shanahan the patience, give Shanahan time. He'll work it out. And it really pains me to say this, that Jordan Mason on October 27th will run for 180 yards against my sorry team.
Who's your team?
Mike, real quick,
you're the Cowboys fan, right?
Yes, I am.
You're the Cowboys fan. Oh, so you think we're going to be? You think the Niners will be all right?
Niners will be just fine because Shanahan knows how to work his magic. Shanahan has dealt with this injury bug before, and y'all were just fine. You guys just got to have patience. You guys just got to stick in there, and I truly believe CMC won't be back, but I believe Mason will fill that role. And when they fill in the young kid, Guerrero, y'all will be just fine in the run game.
Mason has been really good, you know. And the only reason I'm a little willing to pause is, like, when I saw the back injury for Brock Purdy, I think we can we all admit, like, if Purdy's out for an extended period of time, they're in some deep trouble.
Yeah, I mean,
not saying that I don't believe that they could win a couple games with a Brandon Allen or a Josh Dobbs.
It's a problem.
But, like, if he's missing more than a month, I think we got major issues.
Talk about one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
Did you watch Trevor Lawrence last night? Jacksonville would die to have Brock Purdy.
I mean, don't miss the kickoff show this Sunday with Evan Giddings and Lorenzo Neal. Live 2 hours before the start of the game. Join us at the Hilton Hotel, Hilton Santa Clara, for delicious food, great drinks, and the best pregame show in the Bay Area. That's right. Evan Giddings and Lorenzo Neal breaking down Niners and Patriots. We'll get to the Patriots later on in the week. Tough game, though. Tough game when you don't have all your assets here. Niners have to bring their hard hat against the tough New England Patriots defense here. Presented by Habba's Law. You've been wronged. Habba's Law will fight to make it right. Call 1-800-INJURED or visit HabbasLaw.com. What's coming up in the game brought to you by Safeway Northern California Division, 888-957-9570. Let's go in depth with the Monday Night Football games. We'll get back to the 49ers. Christian McCaffrey, do you expect to see him? And much, much more. Plus Baldy. Baldy at 7:30 right here on the Morning Roast.
Samuel Okwuanu.
And looking off to the left, rolling that way, and flips it for a touchdown. Ty Johnson joins the party. Five first half scores by five different Bills. It's an avalanche.
We've only got 10 guys on the field. They're down in 7. This one is launched from McLaurin. He's got it. Touchdown. Touchdown, Terry McLaurin.
What up? This is Turtle Pie Turtle from Frisco. If you're anything like me, you're getting hella roasted every day on the Morning Roast with Fontaine and Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
Yee! All right, that was Chris Fowler, Joe Buck, Troy Aikman. But before we dive into Monday Night Football, make sure you're subscribed to the Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys podcast, one podcast you need to be listening to for all your Giants talk. What do you know? The Giants are hot right now, man. They're winning to disrupt the Royals, beat the Diamondbacks last night, 2-3 in Baltimore. What was this at? June, July, August. But anyway, they're playing well right now. Lubman, Shasky, bringing the best day of Giants talk in the Bay Area, no matter what happens the rest of the season, good or bad. Subscribe today wherever you listen to. to your podcast. You heard of Monday Night Football calls, Josh Allen. I guess we start with that game, Jacksonville, Buffalo. Trevor and the Jaguars look bad. They're 0-3. They look awful. But I was in awe of Buffalo. The way they've retooled their offense, and Shakir's good. You see Keon Coleman get on the board yesterday. Ty Johnson's playing well. And, of course, my guy James Cook does everything. Dalton Kincaid's a hell of a tight end. And then you got Josh Allen. Josh Allen, I don't know if he threw a bad ball yesterday. Buffalo looks like they're legit. Their defense is flying around. They're getting pressure. They got receivers for, you know, Max Holland. What's his name? Mac Hollins. He'll run the power slant. They got guys who could be in the slot. They got deep route guys. Defensively, Von Miller, hey, you're just going to play on third down and get the quarterback. They got a lot of good stuff happening in Buffalo. Mr. Bean, who's the GM up there at Buffalo, has done a good job of retooling that team. And they got a monster matchup next Sunday against Baltimore on Sunday Night Football. The Bills 3-0 right now, Shasky. They looked awesome. Conversely, Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars, they got a lot of work to do.
You know, I find the Buffalo Bills to be a great template. You've seen, obviously, Kansas City is the one that everyone highlights, where they pick a couple guys, you know, Mahomes, Chris Jones, and Kelsey, that most know. And they're like, all right, we're gonna keep you guys, and we're going to retool everything around you. And we're not going to hit on every draft pick, but we're going to do the best that we can to do that. And then we're going to get shrewd, under-the-radar re-signings, for example, Juju Schuster. You know, they bring him back to Kansas City. He's nothing special, but as a third, fourth wideout, you know, when you have Xavier Worthy and you got Rashee Rice, who's two draft picks in back-to-back years, yeah, you can go with a guy like that. I call that ring chasing.
Yep.
I look at Buffalo, and just a couple years ago, they had an expensive linebacker, an expensive wide receiver. Yep. They had an expensive cornerback. You know, Tre'Davious White, we saw this weekend, he's no longer on the team. Tremaine Edmonds no longer on the team. Stephon Diggs no longer on the team. And so now, as the Josh Allen money has hit their books, they got 10 draft picks this year. Now, they hit last year on a tight end that they think that they like, Dalton Kincaid. You know, and they got a couple of special teams players. And then if you look at how their roster is, it's an expensive quarterback with a pretty reasonable cap hit this year because of how the money is spread out financially. And then it's a bunch of guys making less than $5 million on a cap hit. And they're all contributing. Damar Hamlin, and when you say the name, hey, the guy almost died on the field, or I guess did die on the field, and then came back. He's their one of their starting secondary players. He makes a big interception last night. He's not even that good, but he's cheap. He's significantly cheaper than what they've had before. So they've done a good job surrounding Josh Allen, because he's really good, with a lot of really good talent. And they're using that formula. So as a Niner fan, I'm sitting here and I'm like, look, the last couple of years we've been very top heavy. You got seven or eight guys making, depending on how you look at it, the cap hit over $10 million, right? I think this year Buffalo has one in Josh Allen. Everyone else under that number. So that's kind of the model over the next couple of years, is let's pick a couple guys that we really like. We'll keep those guys. We'll pay those guys. And then we're going to have to turn this roster over. And you're not going to hit on every pick, but you have to find valuable contributors. And so that kind of brings me to where we're at currently with the Niners. It's like the whole, you know, Ricky Pearsall pick for this year felt like a luxury pick if you were going to keep Brandon Ayuk. I look at some of what these other teams do. You just soak up that player until, like, if you keep Ayuk, until they're about to leave, and then you draft their replacement.
Well, we'll see if Pearsall contributes anything. I'm going to stick to Monday Night Football for a second, though, and look at that Buffalo. You know how much I love James Cook. You know how much I love him. Three down back. You got Ray Davis, who scored his first NFL touchdown yesterday. Shout out to Raymond
Davis.
Another draft pick from, you know, by way of Kentucky, Vanderbilt and Temple. But, you know, backup getting the touchdown there late in the game. They dropped 47 on the Jaguars. And their defense, their offensive line, it's all in unison. This is a good, good football team. But watching Purdy do what he did against the LA Rams, you start to think, okay, how do I build this roster around Brock Purdy? Because you got a damn good quarterback in Brock Purdy, who proved a lot of haters wrong on Sunday. But Buffalo looks amazing. You look at the Jaguars, conversely, you had Emerson, Evan Ingram, but they look predictable. They look stale. And Trevor Lawrence, what has he lost? Eight straight games? I mean, it is bad right now. His confidence, and he's getting hit every single play. Every single play, Shasky. They got no threat of a run game. One thing I'm finding out, too, and I think we're all being reminded of, You better have a running game, especially if you have a young quarterback. You know, I'm looking at Caleb in Chicago, no running game.
Nah.
Jaden Daniels in Washington, the Commanders, they have a running game, which takes a lot off of his plate. If you don't have a good running game in today's NFL, it is so underrated. It's not the sexy thing. We want to see passes all over the yard. But if you don't have a consistent running game, your quarterback's going to be in trouble.
I just don't.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I think Trevor sees the field. I mean, like, that's a whole nother conversation. Agreed with the running back thing. It's just... And this just goes back to the money part thing. They had him for two more years.
Yeah.
All right? You had him for this year, and then you had the fifth-year option. And if you needed to, you could have franchised him. He had two great quarters in a playoff game. Now, he played better football. Like, you know, I'm not trying to say that he was awful outside of that. But, like, let's call it what it is. He had a signature second half against the Chargers where Brandon Staley melted down, and they came back in a playoff game and they won. Really, since then, and you and I had him in fantasy last year. We watched him a lot. He was extremely inconsistent.
Very underwhelming.
And I just, $268 million guaranteed is left on that deal. I don't, for the life of me, when you see Baker Mayfield get 3 for 100, let me ask you, would Tampa trade right now Baker Mayfield straight up to get Trevor Lawrence?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
I don't think they would.
But you look at what happened last year with the Jaguars. They ended their season losing five straight games. They lost five straight games to miss out on the playoffs. They lose an OT game to Cincinnati. They lose to Cleveland. They lose to Baltimore. Like, they just started. They just melted down. And the season got off to a really good start. He got off to a really good start, Trevor Lawrence, that is. And we had him in fantasy, and the touchdown passes were underwhelming. The interceptions just didn't do a lot. Just didn't do a lot in terms of productivity, in terms of fantasy numbers. But they were winning games. And they lost five straight games. And they've been in the tailspin ever since. Right now, they're 0-3. And they play Houston next week. Their season is on life support. So, Trevor doesn't look good. And then you look at the nightcap. Cincinnati, Joe Burrow played well yesterday. The offense for Cincinnati. Now, they're having trouble in the red zone scoring touchdowns. But look at what they're doing with Jaden Daniels and Cliff Kingsbury and Dan Quinn. They're running the football. Mm-hmm. They're putting them in nice situations. Third and short. Second and short. And boy, Jaden Daniels is getting more confident. Now, I don't like all the hits that he takes. I don't know if he's going to last. He's taking a lot of hits.
He
a lot of punishment.
Slide, though.
He
the
slid
whole play
yesterday.
Started,
right.
Like, he
slid
like
yesterday.
A standing ovation when he slid.
But you see, he's in a situation in Washington, and Adam Peters have done him a solid. We're going to run the football. Yeah. We're going to play action pass. We're going to play to your strengths right now because he still misses some things. But yesterday, what, the highest completion percentage for a rookie ever in his
throw.
Game? Oh, my gosh.
The last throw was... I mean, it was like a video game.
Oh,
I mean,
gosh.
A guy barreling down on you, smashes you in the face, and you throw, like, whatever it was, a 30-something yard perfect throw to the back pylon where only your guy can catch it. I mean, are you kidding me? It was ridiculous. I'm watching that game, and Bonte just, it sparked another thought as I was watching it. It's not about just Zach Ertz, although I wanted Zach Ertz for many years, just as a second or third tight end.
Yeah, they missed a second.
The Niners. I'm talking about the Niners. We talk about this with the Warriors. We've never talked about it with the Niners this same way. Why have the Niners failed to get the ring-chasing vets at the end of their career? Is that just not... Maybe we don't do it as much in football now in this modern day because of the salary cap so restrictive.
Because they haven't won one yet.
What?
They haven't won one yet.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying, like, you would think... Like, hey, I want to be a part of that team because I want to be one of the reasons to get them over the hump. You know, like
Kansas City looks more appealing because they have the quarterback, right? There's been question marks about Purdy, right? So far. But the ring chasers, and then you think about the NFL, we're getting the taxes, and we're getting to California.
That's true.
And you're getting the NFL where contracts aren't guaranteed necessarily until you get the signing bonus, right? But after that, it's like, do I ring chase in Kansas City? Do I try to ring chase in Buffalo? Like, they've gotten some players. They've gotten some players here, but it's a little different in football. Yeah, I hear you.
I look at like, and again, I bring up these guys, and look, they're on the streets for a reason. Like, so it's not like these guys are, people are knocking their doors down to try to get them. But, you know, the David Bakhtiaris of the world, a Zach Ertz, who's been available, it seems like, for two or three seasons. And then you look up and it's like, it feels like the Niners have a bunch of no-name backup tight ends. And I just ask myself, like, man, is there something about the Niners situation, or is it just football in general, where it just we haven't been able to get them like fringe ring chaser vets that I'd like to have?
They've got some good guys. So, Tashaun Gibson was a fringe vet who played well.
He was coaching Little League.
I know he was, but they were able to sign him. They got Charvarius Ward in free agency. They were able to get Javon Hargrave.
He was a coveted player, though.
Yeah, they were able to get Javon Hargrave. He picked us.
I mean,
you know
more of those like minimum vet guys. Like
a David West type of dude.
Yeah.
Who's going to be a situational player. That's what draft picks are for. I hear you. But why would they not go to Kansas City? You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know.
Because the Niners, when we say ring chase, Niners haven't won a ring yet.
No, I know. But wouldn't you want to be, you know, on a really, really, really high level team?
Yeah. I mean, people see the Niners as being attractive, I think. But they're so top heavy that, you know, you don't have a lot of money to pay these guys. Think about the roster and the money allocation here. All right. More coming up here on the roast. Baldy at 7:30. Baldy at 7:30. That is what's coming up. Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromises.
That it's going to have to be Jimmy Garoppolo that gets it done.
The Morning Roast is live on YouTube right now. Take it away, Bonte.
All right, Steph, we'll see you soon. I know he's working out with Brendan Payne, getting ready for the new NBA season. Can't wait to get Steph back in our life and to go to State Warriors. Training camp will be in Hawaii, something we'll touch on. Maybe we should try to go to Hawaii, but that means we have to do shows at 3 a.m. Yeah, I might be good off
I'm that. Open-minded.
I might be good off to that. Hawaii would be fun, though. It's a hell of a time. Segment sponsored by Go to State Lumber, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit gotostatelumber.com. We're going to have Baldy on at 7:30, breaking it down, and he put a video out, as well as everybody else, about the play that Brock Purdy didn't make. And he had an excellent game Sunday. I was blown away. He was a lot of fun to watch, entertaining, made high-level throws, high-level reads. Brock was excellent. Excellent, excellent, excellent. But the one play that's got everybody kind of scratching their head is second-to-last drive of the game. On second down, Brandon Ayuk breaks wide open. Now, there's a couple things here that I thought about when I heard Shanahan in this quote about that situation. And look, Brock Purdy didn't see it right away, but here's what Shanahan said. They busted a coverage, and B.A. had a deep curl route. They busted a coverage, so B.A. did the right thing and just took off and went to that hole. It kind of caught Brock by surprise because B.A. was number two in the progression, and when he looked to him, B.A. wasn't in the right spot because they busted a coverage, and he went down the field, and Brock thought about it. He just wasn't sure where the rest of the safety was or anything since he wasn't anticipating that to happen. It would have worked, obviously, if he let it go, but that happens sometimes. Defense busts the coverage, and if you're not looking at the guy the whole time, all of a sudden it turns into a go route. You can't always just let it rip. Now, I took that as this, Shasky. B.A. was supposed to run a curl route. And Purdy's like, oh, the curl's not there. The curl's not there. This is where I think Shanahan and the conversation where we have is like, does he allow his quarterbacks just to be quarterbacks? Are they too robotic? Is he so hell-bent on them running his system and not freelancing a little bit? Now, Brock Purdy did a lot of scrambling on Sunday and freelance a little bit. But to me, when I heard that quote and I thought about it, it's like, oh, he's not in the right spot. It's a corner route. Does Josh Allen make that throw? Does Jaden Daniels make that throw? Does Patrick Mahomes make that throw? To me, it just felt like Brock was so immersed into the system because Shanahan teaches that so much that it was like, oh, he's not there for the curl, but he's open, but I don't know. And it's a big play. It's a game, right? It's the game. It's hard for me to imagine a quarterback who doesn't get talked to like Shanahan in terms of not audibling, not checking at the line of scrimmage, doing less. We just had the quote last week where Shanahan is saying, we want to take a lot off of Brock Purdy's plate. We don't want him doing too much. So that just kind of went through my head when I heard that quote. It's like, damn, like Brock's anticipating the curl route. B.A. runs the go, which was the right thing, but he doesn't throw it because he's like, oh, wait, he's not in the right spot. And I'm just thinking, boy, if it was another quarterback who had a lot more autonomy at the line of scrimmage, does he rip that throw? And I have to believe, yes, he does rip that throw. So I think that play right there, I'm saying all that to say, that could be a byproduct of Shanahan having too much control over the quarterback and what they do on a given play.
It's possible. I mean, it's an interesting point that I hadn't considered, and that's for sure. I don't know, did he just miss it? You know, like, I know that happens too, where you just kind of miss it, or you go too quickly through it, and I don't know. When I saw it initially from the behind, I was thinking, because they showed it in the telecast, like from behind the line of scrimmage.
Behind the offensive line of scrimmage.
Yeah. To me, it was like, maybe as he was about to rip it, that safety, he couldn't tell where the depth was. I don't know if it was a linebacker or safety. He just couldn't tell where the depth is. I don't know. Plus, I also don't understand. I just personally don't understand, like, what's a window you do trust? What's a window you don't trust as like a normal throw for a quarterback? Mm-hmm. So I have a hard time saying what he should and shouldn't do. And I don't think that's what you're saying. The part about Shanahan, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. With Shanahan last week says, we don't want Brock Purdy doing too much. We've heard Kirk Cousins and we've heard all the things about audibling at the line of scrimmage and not audibling at the line of scrimmage. But B.A. wasn't in his spot and it threw Brock Purdy off. And that's tough. It's a bang-bang play. You're in the middle of it. But I just thought that was a byproduct of, like, that's where Shanahan, with the full autonomy, is like, hey, I don't want you checking. I want you doing what I say. I want you to do what the play says to do. And B.A.'s like, look, I'm going to break this off. There's a patch of grass wide open and freelancing just a little bit. Like, you imagine Josh Allen in that situation. And I'm watching Josh Allen right now. If the play's there. And that comes with experience. Uh-huh. Obviously, Brock Purdy's still a young quarterback. But that in my head and hearing that quote, I'm just like, damn. Like,
do you think situation factored into it? Like, had that been in the first, second, or third quarter, are you just not reckless isn't the right word, but you're a little more apt to make that throw? Whereas end of the game, you do want to be a little, like, you do understand the finality of it, right? Like,
yeah.
I don't really want to risk a throw into a tight window or a specific window if I think there's even a small chance of a turnover, given this could be the final possession. Right. Like, I know that, you know, in certain situations that players have talked about this, like, I would have done that in the first couple innings of a game or the first couple quarters of a basketball game, but not in the final 3 minutes.
It could be. Bless you. It could be. But Tre'Davious White is beat. He gets alerted, right? It was like, oh, my gosh. And just like, boy, Brock Purdy, the way he's throwing the football. It was a touchdown.
Joe Shasky sitting on his couch with LJ, who's never thrown an NFL pass in my life. What you're saying makes a lot of sense. It's hard for me to be like, you got to rip that one.
Mark Sanchez was on it right away.
What'd he say?
Mark Sanchez was on it right away during the broadcast. Yeah. Mark Sanchez like, boy. He goes, Ayuk would have hit his hand on the goalpost. Maybe we get that one, Spinoni. But you heard it too, Spinoni, right? Mark Sanchez was on it right away. Here's Baldy breakdown of Brock missing the receiver before he got to the lines.
Play with just 4 minutes to go in the game. 49ers up 24-17. First and 20 after the juice hold. This might be the longest that Brock Purdy has ever held the ball in his life. Three-man rush, you can't block it any better. He's got all day. He can go check your Snapchat, my Snapchat, his own email. He's got all the time in the world. And eventually, he throws it to his favorite receiver, Juwan Jennings. But on the play, and I would never question, I rarely ever question the decision of Brock. But right here, Ayuk fakes like he's blocking, and he's right down the seam. The free safety is on the other side of the field covering over the top right here. And there's Brock Purdy, like, on the release. And I'm pretty sure he's looking at him. And I just don't know why right here he doesn't throw it to him. It's a touchdown. If he just lays it up to an open patch of grass at SoFi, I mean, that game is done. I'm not sure. I'm not sure why he didn't throw it. He ended up coming out here and picking up 5 yards to Jennings, which is, all right, safe. But I thought there was a game-winning touchdown right there in that moment.
So that's Baldy breaking it down. I'm reading a couple texts here. And look, I'm going to read the texts that make a lot of sense. Jason Mister put this on YouTube, 650 on Xfinity Mobile text line. Maybe if BA was in camp getting reps, they would have seen the situation, and the situation would have played out differently had he been in training camp. Maybe there's something to that, having that rapport that they haven't had since last season. I don't know, but it's a play that we're going to think about. Like, damn, he was wide open. And when you hear Shanahan, I just thought about everything we've talked about with Shanahan and the way he coaches the quarterbacks, which is why we always had a conversation about Brady. He's like, how would Shanahan and Brady have gotten along? Maybe Shanahan would have relented and said, you know what, Brady, you're Tom, you run this show. But I don't know. I have no idea.
I think it's a fascinating point. I hadn't really dived this deep into it, and just hearing all the arguments, like, I bet there's an element, you know, when you throw a pass to somebody and they drop one, you do lose a little bit of confidence. But he went back to Ayuk after a drop, so I don't think that he's not apt to throw into him. I just, in that situation in the game, given where they were on the field, who knows, I don't even know. Yeah. I don't even know, B.
Let's go.
I want to hear what people think, because it's a really good perspective, and I know that is definitely a reality that Jimmy struggled with. You remember when he said, your play suck, coming off the field? Doubt. And he felt like he was being shackled, you know what I mean? Like he was being restricted by the play calling. So I'm open to hearing people on this one.
I'm seeing a couple texts here. Yeah. Same with Mason, 415, agreed, Bonte. Same with Mason, ran it at block gaps. Gaps recovered before the snap, anticipating the run. Could be something there. It could just be a misread by Mason. Shanahan tells his players what they'll see and what to do instead of teaching them to read what they see and assess the best option. Could be something there. But you know what? That was one play in what was a fat. And so I feel a little dirty by even commenting on that, but it was one play that could have ended the game. But Brock Purdy overrides. Look, you're going to miss a read here and there. I'm sure Josh Allen in the perfect game yesterday had missed a read that the quarterback coach and Joe Brady, offensive coordinator, say, hey, you could have hit this one. Brock was sensational on Sunday, so I'm not taking anything away from him. But I just wonder if that had something to do with it. Not saying that it's Kyle's fault, 650. Just saying that maybe the way they're coaching is like, wait, he's not in the spot, so I'm not going to, I don't know. But well, that was Baldy's breakdown right there, and I kind of saw it the same way.
I think we can all agree, like, Brock's, one of his best attributes is his precision. Like, and when I mean precision, I don't just mean accuracy. I mean, like, decision-making and knowing where a player should be when they break and make a break, and he throws it, thinking, okay, by X amount of steps, he should be at this particular spot. Mm-hmm. I think the Kyle Shanahan offense, if I were to like break it down to one, precision is one of the number one things. When I think of Andy Reid, it's kind of, there is a little freelance. Yep. So I think there's different types of artists.
Like,
right?
Mahomes sees that, right? Can you just imagine Mahomes, he sees that and he's like, oh, got it.
Well, they've Josh talked Allen. About it.
Oh, I mean, got it.
And Kelsey goes, I don't really run routes. Right. I just
find an open area.
Exactly.
I find an open area. You are listening to 95.7 The Game. KG.